You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Let's give them another round of applause as they go downstairs there. What a great group of kids that we have in children's ministry, and we really are blessed by, you know, what God has blessed us with. And so, all right. And so in that vein, one of the things that I did want to say is, here's the posters in the back. They're in the windows out in the back, but one of the things that we are in need of, has anybody in here ever been a child before? Okay. That's good. I'm glad to know that. We really could use some help in our children's ministry. You know, we really are blessed. God has just poured out on us a lot of children. We not only need help in our children's ministry, we need help in our nursery ministry. People, ladies that are willing to help out there as well, Miss Olive, Maggie, and Landon. And so I will say this, listen, we need some volunteers. We need some volunteers right here in this church to help minister to that next generation. If you're able to serve, you know, to get plugged in, we have two services. So the beauty of it is that you could serve at one service, maybe a 9 or 11 o'clock service, and you could still come to the next service. So you're like, well, it's going to take a little bit longer. I understand that your day, but you're investing in that next generation, and we're doing what God has called us to do, right? To serve others. And so the way that Christ served us. So if you're interested in that, you could see me, see Todd, if you know Landon and Maggie or Miss Olive, you could see any one of those. And so please touch base. Maybe you'd like to get involved as being a helper in class or something like that, or working in the nursery. Please touch base with them. And then don't forget, please do not forget, we have family fun night coming up. Who's planning to be here for that? All right, we just got a few more hands that aren't up. Go ahead and raise your hands. If you're planning, go ahead, everybody, raise your hand. and so October 19th, it really is a great time. We have just a wonderful opportunity to be able to serve our community, as well as being able to serve together as a church family, but also as an individual family. So plan to come serve there in that arena and get involved. There is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer of different people leading different areas, and I've seen some people out there signing up. You can just fill your name out there, put your phone number down, and somebody will be in contact with you. So open your Bibles to Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2, and I'm excited. We're going to be done the book of Ruth here. I think it's going to be the shortest book, Matt, I've ever preached through. We're going to be done the book of Ruth here at the end of this month. I don't think it is going to carry into November. I have the messages laid out, and so unless the Lord tells me otherwise, right, we're going to be done here in October, and then we're going to be migrating into that Thanksgiving season, and then we're going to, for 4 weeks, be talking about praise and thanks to the Lord. As we enter that time of Thanksgiving, you know, that reminder, and then in December, we're going to open up the book of Matthew. We're going to look at the birth of Christ. We're going to walk through all of that. So I am excited about everything that we have coming up. And so today, remember, making a masterpiece out of a mess. Making a masterpiece out of a mess. Naomi's life is a mess. Ruth comes back with Naomi. She has nothing from the place of Moab. And both of them have lost their family, their husbands, their children, particularly Naomi. And today, Ruth chapter number 2, verses 18 through 23, you know, The title is Hope in the Midst of the Hurt. Hope in the Midst of the Hurt. Have you ever been there where you are in a place of great pain or suffering in your own life? Maybe you're the only one that knows it. Maybe you're the only one that bears it. But I think that we all could say together, we've been in a place of suffering. We've been in a place of a great pain. But in the midst of that great pain, that great hurt, that great suffering, light shines through the darkness. You ever been there? You get a glimmer of hope. It might not stop the pain in the moment, but it gives hope to press on through the hurt. Anybody ever been there before? You know, you're going through a difficult season. You're wanting to quit. You're wanting to give up. You're wanting to walk away. But yet, there is a glimmer of hope. Today is a beautiful picture of hope in the midst of hurting. See, Naomi and Ruth are still grieving the loss of their husband. Still numb, still bitter at what has happened to her. Naomi particularly feeling hopeless, and yet hope is getting ready to shine through and change everything in Naomi's life. You know, today as we look at this, you know, remember, all of God's word is applicable for us. It all can be applied to us, Old Testament, New Testament. And when we look at this, you know, I pray and hope that it's a encouragement to you as we pick up a kind of where we left off. So let's pray, and we're going to jump right into it. Father, I do just thank you, Lord, for the hope that you, Lord, just give us. Lord, in the midst of difficult time, that hope of eternity, that glimmer of light, Lord, that only you can truly give, Lord. It's a real hope. It's a genuine hope. It's real. And Lord, our pain, while it is also real, Lord God, it gives us the strength, the hope in you, the light from you, Lord, gives us the strength to take the next step, to continue, keep on moving forward. Lord, I pray for that one here that's today that is just, man, overwhelmed, that's hurting, that's struggling. I pray that you would, Lord, give them that glimmer of light that continues to give them the strength, Lord, in you to continue to take that next step. Lord, I pray this in your precious and your holy name. Amen. All right, so we're picking up where we left off. Remember, in the beginning of chapter 2, Ruth went out to work. She had to go get some work. And I want you to understand, this is a very quick-paced book. You know, they were in Moab for 10 years. But when they come to Jerusalem, to the House of Bread, things transpire rather quickly. We don't really necessarily see it, but basically picture this. She's been away for 10 years. She comes back to Naomi and Ruth, come to Israel, the House of Bread, and they're there. And then as soon as they get there, they're like, okay, we got to figure out how to provide for ourselves. So it's a rather quick process. And so maybe even I would probably say within even a couple days, maybe even a day or two, chapter 2 transpires. Chapter 2 is where, hey, I need to go find work, right? You know, you're in a new place. You know, you need to eat. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. There wasn't anybody that was lining up to give them food that Scripture tells us. And so therefore, Ruth went out to look for work. She asked Naomi, hey, Naomi, can I go out and get work? And she's like, yeah. So we could almost assume within a week's time, this is transpiring. And then most of chapter 2, if not all of chapter 2, happens in a one-day period of time. And that's important because sometimes we read the Scriptures and we think, man, it was a long, drawn-out period of time. But no, really, it was a one-day period of time, not even a full 24 hours. And so Ruth goes out in the morning looking for work. Remember, she just so happened to come upon the field of Boaz. It just so happened, just a happenstance. Remember, it's not happenstance. It's God's divine intervention. And it just so happened that where she landed was Boaz. Boaz was a kindred or a relative of Naomi. And he just happened to be a mighty man of wealth. He just happened to be a courageous man. He just happened to have a good testimony, good integrity. Remember, Boaz is that picture of Christ. Naomi is the picture of Israel. And Ruth is the picture of us, that Gentile bride. And so Here, he goes out, and then remember, Ruth is in the field. She's working diligently, and then Boaz looks up, and he's like, who is that over there? Who's that? Who's that girl? Who's that outsider? Who's that foreigner? Maybe she stood out from others. Maybe it was her dress. Maybe it was her the color of her skin. I don't know, but she stood out different. And Boaz looked at her, but he wasn't looking at her in a negative way. He was like, hey, who's that person over there working so hard? And remember, it just so happened that he realized who she was, and he took notice of her long before she ever took notice of him. And the Bible says that he said to his reapers, hey, let some of the handfuls of purpose fall behind. Let some of the good stuff fall behind that she can glean. And I remember the good stuff. When he says that, he calls it handfuls of purpose, handfuls of purpose. The same stuff that he would eat was the same stuff that he was giving to her. He wasn't giving her the leftovers of what he had. He was giving her the best of what she had, of what he had. And handfuls of purpose. Now think about it. At the end of the day, we talked about how she would normally, a person that would go out and glean. They were lucky if they were able to glean one day's worth of food. Remember, give us this day our daily bread. Well, it just so happened that while she was there that day, the Lord blessed her so much more than one day's worth of food. We also talked about how many times we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, but most of us aren't in here that don't have food for tomorrow. The Lord gives us far more than we need, as he did with Ruth. Remember Ruth, she wind up getting a whole omer. Omer, which is 10 days worth of food. If we look back at the Old Testament, when the Lord allowed manna to fall from heaven and he told each person, go out and grab one ephod. I think I'm getting it right. One ephod. I don't have those notes in front of me, but one ephod, which is one day's worth of food. And it was 10 days overall. So at the end of her one day's worth of work, which is chapter 2, she comes home. She's got 10 days worth of food, roughly. 10 days worth of food. And this is where we pick up the story. She's coming home here, knocking on the door. Naomi's like, who is it? It's Ruth. Come on in. And this is where we kind of pick up the story today. And so notice number one, the quiet contemplation. The quiet contemplation. Look at verse number 16. So Ruth is now back from work. She comes and she comes to the house, and the Bible says in verse 18, and she took it up. What did she take up? She took up all that she had gleaned that day, which was far more than she should have ever gleaned. Of course, we understand that God was just pouring out blessings on her through Boaz. And it says, and she took it up. What did she take up? That day's worth of food. And then some, and went into the city. She's going back home, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So here it is. She comes back home, and Naomi sees her carrying far more food. You know, it's kind of like going to the grocery store, and you got $5, and you come home with like 6 bags worth of groceries. And you're like, I know you just left with $5. How do you have all those groceries? And this is a quiet contemplation as Naomi is looking at her like, just trying to register, like, how did you get all this stuff? Where did you get all this stuff? And it says she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. So basically, she goes home, cooks dinner. They sit down. They have a meal. They eat. They have plenty of food. And Naomi is just sitting there, probably at the dinner table, contemplating, where did you get all this food from? She's probably not asking it yet. She's thinking about it. And I want you to think about this. Bitterness causes a negative perspective or outlook on life. When Ruth left to find work, I want you to think about this. Naomi is still in her bitterness. Remember, end of chapter 1, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitter. Bitterness. The Lord's hand is against me. She's full of bitterness and bitterness, not assuming that Ruth would find work. When Ruth said, hey, can I go out and find work? Naomi didn't say, hey, let me pray with you. Naomi didn't say, hey, let me go out and maybe introduce you to a few people. Remember, Naomi's in a land that she has been before, but Ruth is in a land she has never been before. She knows no one, she knows nobody, and Ruth still in her, Naomi still in her bitterness, not willing to help in any way, shape, or form. And Naomi sent her basically out to fail. She could have went with her, introduced her to a few people, but she didn't. Much to Naomi's surprise, when Ruth came home, she didn't have enough food to scrape by for a day. She had 10 days worth of food. As she ate that food, you could almost hear her thoughts. How did you get this food? Where did you get this food? How did you get so much? Who gave you this food? God is trying to break through the walls of bitterness that Naomi has built in her heart towards the Lord, towards others, towards her circumstances, towards life. Bitterness can cause that mentality of everything being negative, everything being bad. But I love what Psalms chapter 30, verse 5 says. It says, for his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life, and weeping may endure for a night, a short period of time, but joy cometh in the morning. And we're going to see by the time this chapter ends that there is great joy that Naomi is experiencing or has hope towards. So we see this quiet contemplation. And now we see, number two, an inquisitive questioning. So she's contemplated this. Obviously, she does not know where or how. And so verse 19, she picks up with this inquisitive questioning. In verse 19, look at it. It says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, okay, enough is enough. I can't figure it out. How did you get this? Where hast thou gleaned today? And where hast thou wrought? Or where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She has no idea where she was at. She has no idea what field she went to. She didn't go out and help her find any connection or any place. So she has no idea. And so basically, where did you glean today? Or where did you work? There was one of two ways she could have got this. She could have maybe went to town and worked for it, or she could have went to a field and gleaned for it. And so Naomi noticed the blessings, and now she is looking for the one who gave her these blessings. That word, take knowledge of, means this: to recognize or pay attention to. Naomi realized that somebody was recognizing Ruth or paying attention to Ruth. Basically, who took notice of you? And Naomi is saying, what person noticed you? What person blessed you? Can I say that before Boaz ever saw her, the Lord saw her? Hey, the person that Naomi should have realized had already taken notice of both of them was the Lord. And I love Psalm 68:19. If you've been here for any amount of time, you know this verse. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with what? Benefits. Blessings upon blessings. And I like how it's a daily loading. And it's a loading. It's more. It's almost like a weighting down of blessings. Hey, the Lord. I love the reminder that the Lord daily loads us with blessings. We don't have to wonder for long where the blessings have come from, because we know that what does James say? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from where? Our Father. Our Father. Every good gift. See, Naomi was looking for this way. Hey, who blessed you? Who blessed you? When really she should have been looking this way and saying, Lord, thank you for those blessings. But Naomi is starting to get a glimmer of hope. And now we see that inquisitive questioning, which led to a hope-filled revelation. Here, Ruth is getting ready to spill the beans of where she's been and what she's doing without even realizing the significance of what she's about to say. And Naomi is almost going to be awestruck by this hope. Look at verse number 19. It says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. You know, Naomi knew who Boaz was. Ruth did not know who Boaz was. Before that encounter in the field that she had no real idea. And she doesn't really understand how important it is that Boaz is around and that Boaz is part of the family. Verse number 20 says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord." This is the first time you're really seeing anything positive come out of Naomi. This is the first time it's kind of that idea of bitter to blessed. By the time the book ends, in the beginning, you see a very bitter woman. But then God intervenes in her life, and now you see a very blessed woman who is praising the Lord, and you're starting to see that come out now when she says, "Blessed be he of the Lord." She knew he was a man of the Lord. She knew he was a different kind of man who hath not left of his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto me, unto us, one of our next kinsmen." You see Naomi for the first time have hope as she acknowledges the Lord blessing through allowing Ruth to just happen to come upon the field of Boaz. She didn't realize this had all transpired. It's just now coming out at the end of that day. She met a man named Boaz. See, Boaz brought hope to the heart of Naomi in a very difficult and painful season in her life. Just like Jesus can bring hope into our lives in a very dark and difficult time. Just for a moment, her heart, her hurt fled away as hope from the Lord flooded her soul. See, this man had the power to be more than just a provider of food for her family, but could also keep the family name alive if he chose to. See, Naomi draws attention to something that Ruth would know nothing about because it was unique to Israel and the law God gave to them to live by. This law was called the Kinsman Redeemer. The Kinsman Redeemer, and we're going to talk more about this in time to come. I'm not going to go into it extensively, but in verse number 20, it says, at the end of the verse, it says, "He is our next kinsman." He is our next kinsman. God, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, he established this unique thing that was specific just for Israel. And so Ruth, coming from a pagan culture, coming from an outside culture, would have no idea the significance of that. She's probably wondering, like, "Naomi, what's the big deal? He's a family member. So what?" But the law that God established gave Naomi much hope, because when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God established the law, the Kinsman Redeemer, with Ruth not knowing anything really about this. God created this law of the Kinsman Redeemer to set apart Israel from the rest of the world. And the whole purpose, I want you to think about this. The whole purpose of the Kinsman Redeemer was to resurrect and keep alive the name of the dead. When you think about that, you can absolutely think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says, "If your brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, and the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger, her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife, and to perform the duties of the husband's brother unto her, of raising up seed in her dead husband's name. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that the name be not put out of Israel." It's basically raising up seed to that next generation, to that name of that husband that had died. Naomi begins to find hope rooted in God's word, because I want you to think about this. Why was she so hope-filled at the thought of Boaz? Like, what brought her such great joy? It was because she knew what the Bible said, because she even mentioned the kinsman. And she mentions in this verse, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. See, Naomi, for the first time, is starting to remember what the Bible said in the midst of her hard time. And it's starting to give her a glimmer of hope that all is not lost. Church, this is why I tell you, go home and read your Bible. Do not be a Sunday morning Bible opener only. Go home and be a Monday morning opener and a Tuesday morning opener and a Wednesday morning opener, because you will go through difficulties. Yea, the Bible says, and all they that live godly shall suffer. And in those times, whether it's the enemy attacking you, that spiritual enemy, or a physical enemy attacking you, hey, either way, we're going to go through difficulties. We're going to go through hurt. We're going to go through pain. And when we go through that pain, if we remember when the Holy Spirit reminds us of the Word of God and the hope that we can find in His Word, oh, how it gives us hope in the midst of hard times. This is a beautiful picture of redemption, of how God, through Jesus, His Son, brings hope to the living and the resurrection of the dead. Think about this. You know, you think about that phrase, you know, showing kindness to the living and to the dead. Well, you really can't show a dead person kindness. It's just a picture. Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. He's a picture of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ has the power to resurrect the dead. You're saying, man, like, you're freaking me out now. You know, no, I'm not talking about somebody dead in a casket. I'm talking about the Bible says that we are all, before Jesus Christ came into our life, we are dead in our trespasses and what? Sins. We are dead. We are dead. Our Boaz, Jesus, has the power to resurrect the dead through His power in His name. Notice how I said in His name. That at the name of Jesus, right? Right. There is salvation is given no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, or we can be saved, resurrected, quickened. It's only in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Beautiful picture. Now there is hope and there is anticipation. And I want you to think about this, okay? She's got hurt in one hand, and now she's got hope in the other hand. And there is an anticipation now. I love that us as Christians, we can have both hope in one hand and hurt in the other hand, and we can still have a great anticipation. Because now, for the first time, there is hope. There is like a resurrected spirit within Naomi wondering within herself, could this be our kinsman redeemer? Could he bring life back into our home, into our family? Yes, yes. Can I say to you today, yes. Yes, Jesus can. Now there's hope and anticipation. Will there be a kinsman redeemer? Will he take on the responsibility? This is where faith and hope come together. Faith and hope. And so we see that revelation. But then number four, the affirmation of wise counsel. So there's this conversation going back and forth. And so Naomi just got done telling Ruth, you know, do you realize who that is? Do you realize the significance of that? Finding hope, looking back at the Old Testament law, the Bible that she had then, and recalling that law that she had learned in time. And now the affirmation, number four, of wise counsel. So in verse number 21, basically Ruth tells Naomi what Boaz told her. Look at it. Verse number 21. And Ruth the Moabite said unto me, he said unto me also, hey, he's talking to me, as I left that day, he said, this is what he said, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Basically, Boaz is telling her to say, hey, listen, stay close to me. Stay close to my fields. Hey, don't wander off. Don't stray away. These blessings, these things. Hey, stay close to me. And look at verse number 22. Look at what Naomi says to Ruth when she tells her this. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good. Hey, his words, they are good. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. Basically, Ruth tells Naomi what Boaz says, and Naomi gives her counsel to do as he said. I love that Naomi tells Ruth to listen and to obey his word. And you probably already know where I'm going with this. You know, the best kind of friends and family in our life will be the ones who remind us to listen and obey God's word. You know, she didn't say, well, you don't have to do what Boaz says. You can do really whatever you want. You know, maybe you have a better luck in another field or going at another way. But you know what? I love how she affirms what Boaz says. And you know, the best friends are going to be those friends that are going to affirm and remind you of God's word, that's going to challenge you to stay in and walk within the parameters of God's word for your life. Naomi affirms his words are good and right and should be followed. I hope that we're that kind of church. You notice Naomi didn't give of Ruth her opinion. She gave back Naomi. She gave to Ruth Boaz's words. You know, as Christians, sometimes when we're going through a difficult, hurting time, you know, we don't need to just tell people what we think, or we need to remind people of God's faithful words. And, you know, sometimes we're like, well, there's nothing that we can say to ease the pain. And you know what? We're right. But does that mean we negate? You know, why does Scripture tell us to read his word every day? Because he wants us to be reminded of it. He wants us to be reminded of the hope, the power, if we just continue to take the next step. Naomi tells her to stay closer to him. Better words have never been spoken. Stay close to Jesus. Stay in his word. Please don't be a one that opens your Bible on Sunday. And I want you to ask yourself, have you even opened your Bible this week? Have you walked with the Lord this week? Naomi tells her something else too, that Boaz also says. Naomi tells her, be careful not to leave his field. Not only listen to his words, but don't leave his fields. You know, if anybody knew what a bad choice looked like, who would it have been? Naomi. As Naomi walked away from the Lord, she knew God's word. She knew God's word, and she walked away. And I love how she says, hey, don't wander off. Don't leave his field. Hey, I left where I knew I was supposed to be, looking for something better. When I got back, I had nothing. And I realized what I already had was already the best. Don't leave where you're at. Distractions may come, she would tell Ruth, but don't wander off. Temptations will come, but don't wander off. Seemingly better opportunities or greener grass may come, but don't wander off. Stay close to Boaz. Don't stray away from Boaz. Don't stray away, Ruth. The grass is not greener on the other side. She would be able to say that in full understanding of what it looks like when you make the wrong decision. Christian, can I say to you today, stay close to the Lord. Well, you're like, man, I messed up, or I'm having a difficulty. It's hard. I'm going through valley. It seems like I'm praying and nothing's happening. It seems like he's not there. Hey, he's there. You just have to believe it. You have to hold him at his word. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I feel like I'm going through the valley, and it's a very dark valley. It's a very, the Bible says that he's there with you, the rod and the staff that comfort you. Yea, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hey, I'm with you, even though you can't see me in those times. I'm with you. Stay close to me. And then number five, and we'll close with this, remaining faithful through the pain. Remaining faithful through the pain. See, Ruth had a choice to make. Ruth had a choice to make. She heard Boaz's words. She heard the affirmation that his words were good. You today, yeah, you come to church, and I come to church on Sunday. We open the word, and we hear the word. We read the word. We listen to the word. It's affirmed to be good, to be wholesome, to be right, and to be true. And now we all have a choice to make. Sometimes we disassociate and we think all we're doing is have to hear. But the Bible says, blessed are those that hear God's word and obey it. Not just being a hearer on Sunday morning, but a doer on Monday morning. Is she going to heed what is said in verse number 22? Look at it, verse number 23. It says, she heard the word, and this is how she's acting on it. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Praise the Lord, she chose to stay and obey the word spoken unto her from Boaz, our picture of Jesus. Proverbs 28:20, it says, a faithful man abounds in blessing. The person that can continue to be faithful, even in the difficult times, who can continue to pick up and to not just hear God's word, but continue to obey the words. The end of the story of Ruth is a beautiful one, because she chose to obey. She chose not to just come to church and hear, yeah, I hear it, but I think my way's better. I could go down here and make a little bit more. I could go over here and have a little better. She chose to listen. She chose to obey. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I wonder how many times that Ruth went to work and hid her tears within her work, but didn't quit. I wonder how many times that she went there, and understand, she's not going to work for Boaz. Boaz is not gaining anything from this. She is gleaning. She's not doing the work of harvest for him. She's just literally following behind and picking up the daily blessings that he pours out for her. Every day she goes to that field, and guess what? She gleans blessings. She picks up the morsels of food to encourage her soul for the next day. See, remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is why he tells us to walk in his word. She would go out there, and I love the reminder, be not weary in well-doing. Hey, don't be weary as we walk, as we continue to move forward obeying God's word, because there will be a time of blessing if we just remain. You know, today, I don't know how God spoke to you. I don't know, you know, what it was maybe that God spoke to you about, but I will, as my wife just comes and sits at the piano, I will say this. There's three things I want you to reflect on. Obviously, what the Holy Spirit has kind of pointed out to you. Hopefully you've went home and read the book of Ruth. If you haven't, go home and read it. It's four chapters. It'll take you about 15 minutes to read it. And you'll get an understanding, better understanding of the story, but there is spiritual application to be had. Is this season of your life a difficult one, filled with pain, sorrow, or hurt? I want you to answer that question within yourself. Is this a difficult time? And you say, well, I'm going through a great time. Praise the Lord for that. But storms are going to come. Difficulties and hardships are going to come. Only you can evaluate your own heart in this season. And the first thing I want you to think about is this. First, realize, just like Boaz took notice of Ruth, God himself has taken notice of you and is with you in your hurt and in your sorrow. Don't let bitterness choke out that hope. Don't shake your fist at God. Don't get angry at God. Just like Boaz took notice of Ruth, hey, God has already taken notice of you. Hey, realize that he loves you. And secondly, choose to believe God himself is working on your behalf. You might not understand it. You might not see it. You might not see that God is working on your behalf. But can I say to you that he is? Scripture reminds us of this. He's working in your good. even if you don't see it, Romans 8:28. But all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And thirdly, in the pain, stay close by his side and listen to his word. There is no more comforting place when we're walking through sorrow, hurt, troubles, than to stay close by his side and to stay in his word. And so, I don't know how the Lord spoke to you today, but with heads bowed, eyes closed, as my wife plays the piano, I would challenge you, think that through. If you're here today and, hey, I didn't really get anything, ask yourself, why is that? Is God's word empty, hollow? Does it not carry any weight? I understand you could take everything that I have to say and throw it out the window, but what's God's word say? How can we look at it? What can we reap from it? God can bring hope to areas of our lives that feel hopeless and dead. See, Naomi had an area of her life that was hopeless and dead, but the Lord is going to, by the time we get to the end of this book, breathe life and hope in a way that only he can. Hey, trust his word. Listen to his word. Obey his word. The brokenness is not too broken for the Lord. It's not too broken. He can fix it. He can bring life. He can bring resurrection. In fact, he's the only one who can. Hey, do you feel like nobody sees you? You just kind of get lost in the midst in the crowd. Hey, just like Boaz saw Ruth, out of all the other people, the Lord sees you out of them all. You know, and today, I think one of the greatest things that you can do is understand how much Jesus loves you. How much he died thinking about you. The Bible would say, for the joy that was set before him, you were on his thoughts as those nails were driven into his hand. You were on his thoughts as the crown of thorns was put on his brow. You were on his thoughts as he took that last breath and gave up his life for you. You were on his thoughts when he raised from the dead, and the Bible said that he went and made intercession for us. You know, Jesus loves you. Have you ever accepted the gift of life that he has for you? That salvation he wants to give to you? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sins, we're dead in our sins and trespasses. But the Lord says, hey, I know your sin, and I want to forgive you of them. If you just acknowledge to me that you know, man, you're a sinner, hey, I want to forgive those sins. I want to cleanse you of those sins. I want to give you the gift of life that no one else can give you, salvation. And my spirit, I want to give you myself. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, hey, let today be the day where you open your heart to the Lord and you say, Lord, I believe you, and I invite you in to my heart. Lord, I invite your spirit into my heart. Lord, you see me, every inch of me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my sins. Lord, and save me. Give me that gift of eternal life that only you can through your resurrection. Lord Jesus, I love you. If that's something you've never done, hey, make today the day. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Lord, I love you, and Lord, I am grateful for your goodness. Lord, that you care about us in the hurt. Lord, you want to breathe hope in the hurt. Lord, and if we can just see you and see that sometimes that hurt even shapes us to be more like you. If we just trust you and listen to you as we walk through those difficult times. Lord, may we be shaped into your image. Lord God, and I pray for the one here today that's hurting the most, that you would just do a work of grace in their life. Lord, I ask and pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.